Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva Days Alive. Tonight we have the honor of interviewing Marie Cheatham, who portrayed Marie Horton on Days of Her Lives. And she's in an exciting new show on Nickelodeon called Sam and Cat. And we'll be talking to her about that. We can't wait to hear about it. So I want to introduce my co-host before we get to Marie. We have Rose, who will be call straining tonight.
Hi, guys.
Hi, and call in to talk to Marie at 914-338-1239. Press the number 1 to talk to us, or press number 2 if you're just listening on your phone. And you can also use Skype. And we also have Marianne.
Hi, everyone.
And Anna.
Hello.
And I'm Carrie. And Marie.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
Hi. Well, I think it's very interesting that you have the Ride of the Valkyrie as your introductory music, for heaven's sakes.
Well, that was Stefano Damiro's theme song on Days of Her Lives, so that's why we picked it. It's also in the public domain, so it doesn't cost us anything to use it. So that's always helpful. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, don't you remember in that wonderful Vietnam movie, or I guess it was sort of an anti-Vietnam movie, Vietnam War movie, that they used it for the helicopters that came in.
It gets used a lot. It's a beautiful piece of music.
I think it's very evocative. And here we are, De Valkyrie in person.
Yes, I was just telling you, Marie, that Sam and Cat was trending on Twitter today. And
oh,
the show
isn't
hasn't
that
even
fascinating. Now, I am the person who had a flip phone until about a month before we did the pilot for Sam and Cat. And after I did the pilot and we started working, Nickelodeon explained to me why social media is important, because I had thought, oh, yes, that's something the children do. But it isn't. It's the new fan mail.
Yes. It's very immediate. It's very immediate, and it puts you in great contact with your fans and everything.
That's
so it's
right.
A great.
And so the first thing I'm going to do is ask everybody who called in to please follow me on Twitter. And it's at Marie Cheatham. That's Marie with two E's, and Cheatham is spelled cheat and ham.
All right.
There you go.
Yes,
yeah,
it's awkward,
easy,
but it was my father. It was my father's, so there you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this is the new fan mail. Now, they used to think, the networks used to count the people who wrote in, and they would count each letter, and they would think, and they had an equation that each letter represented 100 people watching. So they thought it was a fine idea. And so when I was on Search for Tomorrow in New York, you know, I'd carry a stack of envelopes around with me that were already addressed to me at the studio and had stamps on them. And I would take them around to, you know, to the doctors, the lawyers, the Indian chiefs, where I would go in, you know, like the cleaners and the dentist. And I'd leave them around. I would leave a little stack of envelopes. And say, now, send these in to me.
Very smart.
Oh,
wow.
Everybody did it.
Yeah.
We were hoping, you know, to whip up the fan mail.
It.
So that means that you
love
got
it,
a longer contract.
Right.
You're seeing
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
all I have
like
to do
that.
Is say at Marie Cheatham, and I just followed you on one of my accounts.
Oh, honey, that's the phone.
Yeah.
That's the reason
yes,
my phone,
I'm already following.
My phone chirps, and I go, oh, yes, hello, somebody, you know. And it can chirp while you're doing the strangest things. And it took me a long
little
time to understand about Facebook. But now I've sort of gotten that sort of strange, you know, I had two accounts on Facebook until I realized, oh, this can't be right. You know, I got rid of one of them. It's very odd.
Well, how do you like Twitter so far? You seem to be doing really well.
Thank you. Well, it's the most amazing thing to go from zero to 60 in, 60 seconds, but that's drag racing talk. my nephew tells me all about these things. But it's fascinating that you can really, the Pope tweets. Or the older one did. And then the Dalai Lama tweets. I follow the Dalai Lama. I think that's a great idea. But it's an amazing thing. And Facebook has put me in touch with people that I had really got lost contact with like 30 and 40 years ago. And it's the most amazing thing.
Yeah, you do hear people like, if you graduated from high school or long-lost friends, you find them on Facebook.
Absolutely.
I've been reconnected with people that way, too.
I think it's amazing that way. And I'm a potter. I don't know if you knew that or not. And I make, I make things in ceramic. And a friend found me and said, and I put up a couple of pictures of my pot. This year is the year of the lidded jar for me. I've tried to take one form and to work it over and over and over again in various ideas and various clays so that I can understand why and how it works to make the bottom portion and then to make the lid for it and how the lid fits onto the pot. And if you take one form and make it over and over and over again, then you understand the intricacies. It's sort of like acting. You might be able to learn to do it. But my friend found out that I was doing that, and he's bought $400 worth of my pots.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's cool.
Very good.
Well, I just think
That's
it's a
neat.
Little miracle.
That's neat.
You have your hands in everything. Lots of different things.
Terrible. And I'm also learning to play the ukulele, which is a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I have an idea that if I can interest the kiddos in playing the ukulele, we could have like a 4-piece band.
That'd be cute.
Because they sing like birds anyway. It's wonderful. And Ariana has a hit song. It was number one for a minute, and then now it's in the top 10. It's amazing, these kiddos. And Jeanette McCurdy has recorded albums in the past and has had hit songs. Oh, it's amazing. They're talented kiddos. It's wonderful to work with them.
Well, so what? I only have a cat child. I don't have actual children in the house. So my cat child doesn't really watch much television. Animal Planet occasionally. If I force her to watch Days of Our Lives, she'll play along for a while and act interested.
Yeah.
But, for the most part, she's really not. But so I'm just curious, since I'm not on Nickelodeon a lot, what is the premise, or what's the basic premise of Sam and Cat?
The basic premise is that these two young girls are sort of the odd couple, and they take up residence, and they have my apartment. I can't tell you any of the particulars of the show.
Oh, sure.
But anyway, but they're like the odd couple. Jeanette McGurdy plays a character that's very different from Ariana Grande, who plays Cat Ballantyne. And so they're an odd mix, but it sort of works. And they have a babysitting service. And
oh, how
it's
fun.
The shenanigans these kids get into. And I was thinking about, my career in preparatory to speaking with people tonight, that I began my career as the young victim, Marie, on Days of Our Lives, and everything happened to her. And she was always constantly crying about this, that thing, or another. And she fell in love with her brother, who had amnesia from the war and did not remember them, nor they recognize her. And so she went off to Africa as a medical missionary and came back a nun into a Protestant family, I might add. So,
yes, I remember that.
All
I've been watching
possible.
For a long time.
All things are possible in soap. But then I thought, well, this isn't so, this isn't so far-fetched. I was the victim then that everything happened to, and now kiddos love to see an adult take a pratfall. So my character is the victim now again, and I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. Everything changes and nothing changes.
Right.
But my career went along with the ages. You know, it's very unusual for a character or an actress to be able to prolong her career through the stages of her life.
Right.
And as I was a young woman on Days of Our Lives and, you know, the victim in that, and then that role came to an end and I lost a bit of weight and changed the hair color and went to New York and became the uptown bitch. and that was sort of like very, you know, playing the mean lady, the lady you love to hate.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a
lot. That's always the fun role.
Oh, it's so much fun. And then this is my roles lasted about 10 years apiece, which is unusual. Really.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So that came to an end, and I came back to California and found myself playing aunties, like the wacky aunt, Lucy Coe's aunt, on General Hospital.
General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And Port Charles.
Oh, my
and
God.
Then,
oh, you were in Port Charles.
Most of us are GH fans
we're
right
GH
now,
fans,
too. So.
Yeah.
Isn't that
most
great? And
yeah.
Then,
speaking of, yeah.
And it was
speaking of DH, how did you like working with Ian Buchanan?
Oh, I love Ian Buchanan.
I saw you tweeted, you know, a lot when he was on there. You tweeted to him, yes.
He's wonderful. You know, he's marvelous. Way back when we worked together. And then, you know, everyone got other jobs and we sort of like left the show and went on to other things. And he
mm-hmm.
gave me a wonderful leather purse that you could wear on your shoulder or strapped around your waist. And
uh-huh.
I just thought he was a cat's meow.
Oh,
we
love him.
He's a sweetheart.
He is one of our favorites.
Yes.
He's
oh,
such a
marvelous. And so
he's a little naughty. He's a little naughty too, but we
he
like
can be
that.
A little naughty. Yeah.
Well,
he's
that's
fun.
The reason one likes him so much.
Yeah, he's very good with his fans.
Yes, but he's always fun, you know. And
yes,
and it's benign. It's
yes,
not mean,
yes.
You know.
He's got a
right.
good heart.
He's
yeah.
terribly,
he makes
terribly
laugh.
Witty. Yeah, and he's
very
witty. Talented. Oh, he's so talented. I do love talented people. You can forgive anything.
Very handsome, too. Yeah.
So Nona is a young grandmother who's a wacky grandmother. So it's not too much of a stretch to think, you know, crazy Aunt Charlene to wacky Nona is you know, she just moved over.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Well, you know, Lucy Coe is back on General Hospital. Have you been keeping up with General Hospital lately?
I saw her try to kill a vampire.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, we never had that much fun. That's great. Yeah. And the nurse's ball. How about
yes.
that was fantastic. That was good.
Oh, so great. Everyone looks so elegant.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the whole thing is wonderful. I love soaps. And the way that you can, you know, somebody once said, oh, I want to be a very famous actress. And I said, oh, no, I don't want to be that. I just want to work every day. I want
mm-hmm.
to go to work every
mm-hmm.
day. That's what I really wanted to do. And you can do that in soaps almost.
That's true. Oh, yeah,
you're
telling what.
Hmm?
I'm sorry.
You
you're telling what to. I'm sorry. I'll just shut up. You go ahead.
No. Well, you get to play such a depth of things, and it's very interesting because we handled things like incest, falling in love with your brother.
Right.
Nobody
right.
else would touch that in nighttime. And we handled my character on Search for Tomorrow played breast cancer, a mastectomy,
wow.
radical surgery, reconstructive surgery. And it was unfortunate because my father was dying of lung cancer at the time, so that was pretty hard on me. And I said, "Oh yes, I'd do the. I would be happy to do the storyline, but I really wanted to have some input about the teaching elements. You know, what's
mm-hmm.
available to people, counseling and things like that, so that nobody thinks it's the end of the world. Although it's the end of your certain body parts, but you know, people who have survived it are." they're just my heroes, you know. So I did a lot of work with the American Cancer Society at the time that I was playing that role.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a very pivotal point in my life to be playing it every day, and then to fly down to Houston to be my father's ombudsman in hospital as he ultimately succumbed. You know, it was kind of rough.
You were dealing with it.
Yeah.
Yes, you were dealing with it on both levels. All the time.
And it's a very odd thing how soaps have a tendency to mirror what's happening in your real life. I don't know why. Writers.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that from other actors, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Evidently, it's catching. You know, the writers get a whiff of it, and then all of a sudden, you'll be playing it 24-7, and it's just no relief there. But you can play things. Well, we used to be able to play things in great depth. You know, you would... There's funny too, because people said, "Oh, did you read the scripts ahead to find out what happens to you?" Well, everybody wants to know. Oh goodness, do I get hit by a car? Do I die, or do I come back? But that can be lethal, because one day I found myself with my mouth open, saying something to a character. The cameras were rolling in those days. You didn't stop and do retakes. You didn't, unless the camera hit the set and you saw the set wiggle. There was no editing. It cost money, and just get on with it, you know. But I all of a sudden, it occurred to me in a horrible moment, is this what I say today, or what I said yesterday, or what I'm supposed to say tomorrow? So that's when I quit reading scripts ahead of time. You develop a facility for learning things quickly. Well, also, the flip side of that is you develop the habit of forgetting things quickly, too.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, well,
it sounds like it kind of went full circle then. Like, originally, you just got the one take or whatever. And then it seems like maybe in the 80s, they had more money and they were able to, they had the luxury of doing rehearsals and all that. Now, they're pretty much back to one take unless somebody says the F word or something, you know.
That's like, true. That's very true.
Yeah.
Also, well, think about it. Cameras have changed.
That's true.
The cameras have changed. Editing doesn't, you know, everything is digital now, and editing costs.
That's true.
It is figured differently, yes.
That's true.
And,
that's
you know, and I think that also the scene structure has changed. Now, when I began back in the dark ages, the scenes were like 3 and 4 minutes long, and you had a beginning, a denouement, a middle, and a denouement, and an end.
Mm-hmm.
So the scene had a little arc in it.
Now
the scenes are sound bites. They've cut these scenes into short.
That's very true.
And you only get like a page and a half to do, or 2-3 lines, and then the scene is over and they move on. This is, I think, indicative of people's attention spans. Also, it looks like more is happening, even though it's just talking heads. It looks like more is happening if they skip around. Like they'll do one storyline in the top of the scene, another storyline in the middle, and another storyline in the third section of that allotted time. And remember that we are the white, creamy substance in the Oreo cookie. The cookie, the hard cookie are the commercials. Now, those are set in stone. And what we are doing is the filler in between those commercials.
I've noticed with GH, for example, that like if I'm fast forwarding through, you know, because sometimes let's just face it, some of the storylines are more interested in than others. But I found that with GH, if I try to fast forward too much, I miss the ones I want too, because there's slicing and dicing back and forth between the different stories so quickly.
Yeah.
But they are, it's a really good show. They're doing a great job with the writing.
Days
of Our Lives. I think Dave still does a little bit longer scenes, maybe. I don't know. At least some of them.
A little longer.
You know, I've found that if there's a story I'm not liking, I can fast forward through there for a minute or so.
Exactly.
I can get through that whole scene. But it's interesting how they're doing that now a lot more.
When I began, we didn't even have the ability to tape the shows.
Right.
I mean, to get kinescopes. That's,
oh yeah. Oh, I remember. I remember in the 70s being home. Last time we had you on, we talked about Search for Tomorrow and everything. I remember staying home from school to watch and stuff.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have the VCR back then yet.
Yeah.
We didn't have VCRs or anything.
No.
And if I really wanted to, if I really wanted something, like if one of my favorite actors was appearing on a talk show or something during the day, my mom would have to audio record it for me so I could hear it. You know?
That's
isn't that
right.
Funny? I know, just to die now to think about how that worked then. But, yeah, you didn't have – so I was home from school a lot since I was a soap fan from an early age. But I was always a straight-A student, so it was okay.
That's very funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't any material saved from that, and I did save some material from Search for Tomorrow, but I had to pay for a professional – recording of it.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah. Hmm. So it's wonderful when I see these things on YouTube. Really interesting, fascinating to me, because I can remember sometimes the scenes that we did.
Mm-hmm. speaking of Search for Tomorrow, have you talked to Lisa Peluso yet lately?
Yes, I hear from her every now and then.
Oh,
she's
good.
Very happy. She has two children. And she lives in a place that I cannot pronounce, and I've been to it, but I can't pronounce it. Kapawongpunk or something. And she's wonderful. She has a wonderful marriage, lovely children. I just adore them.
Oh, that's neat.
I knit
nice
things
here. I just think of you guys. I don't honestly couldn't tell you any of the stories back from back then, but I think of both of you with great affection back from that era. You know,
that's very kind of you. Yeah.
So I'm always curious what she's up to. So that's neat. That's neat that you guys have stayed in contact. You know, off and on.
Well, and we have another friend in common, Rebecca Arthur, who lives out here, and I see her frequently. In fact, I hired her. I went to the Kids' Choice Awards, and I hired her daughter as my niece and took my niece to see the Kids' Choice
Awards. Oh, cute.
Aww.
It was so adorable.
Aww, that's neat. I'll bet
she
had a blast.
Yeah, we have, it's great because it's wonderful to have friends who've known you through thick and thin because everybody goes through it. You know, something happens to everybody. So it's just wonderful to have friends that you've known so long, long, long. Great.
How did you like the Kids Awards on Nickelodeon?
Well, I think I made a mistake because the Nickelodeon executive asked me that question. And I said, it was fascinating. It was like Rome before the hordes. And they looked at me with a kind of a blank look, and I said, when they threw the lions, or they threw anybody to the lions in the mosh pit in the Coliseum, and then they yelled and screamed and threw things at them, I said, it was just like that. I don't think they appreciate it.
No.
But it was. I've never seen so many screaming kids in my life.
Oh, I bet.
It was wonderful. And the stuff that they do with all that, that motion and the colors and everything moves all the time. You know, there's not a static shot all night. And, all of that stuff used to be used to brainwash people,
Now we know.
You didn't get the green slime, though, did you?
Sitting in a safe.
I remember that.
No, and they do slime anybody and everybody who's down there.
They still slime, yeah.
And they come out with towels and big, scooper duper's, then clean up after it, and it's just the most incredible thing.
Yeah, I remember when my kids were younger, they did that.
Yeah, and they love it. They scream and yell, and I've never heard so much screaming in my. Well, when it started, the seats in the Coliseum. Well, we were in the great big. Paley Center, which is a basketball arena. It's huge. I mean, it's huge. It's vast. It's huge. And they were playing the music, and we were sitting in those seats. Now, the seats in a Coliseum are bolted to the concrete steps. And the seats started vibrating, going back and forth. And I thought, oh, and I put in my earplug so that I could, you know, I could survive it. And I could hear just fine. It's very strange. Well, you know, for a person who's never been to anything at all like that, it's got to be very strange. But that's our world.
Yeah, and you get to do it again next year.
Oh, yes, I hope so. I hope to, and I hope to sit down on the floor, and I hope our show is nominated, and I hope we all get slathered with that slime, and we'll wear something very interesting. And I thought, oh, my goodness, how will I ever survive on the red carpet and all of that business? So I got a pair of Converse sneakers in hot pink that matched the jacket that I was wearing, mm-hmm. and that's how I survived it. Mm-hmm.
There you go. How fun.
Well, you learn to adjust, don't you?
Oh, yeah. And I think you could just wear anything there and you would just fit in.
Uh-huh.
Right? Anything outrageous.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You mm-hmm. do. Wear something that you, if it's going to be, you know, it's got goo on it. Wear something
yeah.
that will survive it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's too silly for words, but it's great fun.
I bet. I'm going to bring on our caller. This is our friend Dama, who helped
mm-hmm.
set up this interview.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dama? Hello, Dama? Oh, she was having phone problems, but I'll leave her on.
Uh-oh.
She kept dropping off. It says she's on there, though. So maybe, Rose, can you see what's going on with Dama?
Sure.
Oh, thanks, honey. Yeah, I have her on. I'm not sure what's going on with Dama. Oh, well. Yeah, I know. Poor girl.
Mm.
And I know she's been wanting to do this interview for a while, so I feel horrible if I can't get her on.
Maybe she'll come back.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Maybe it might be her phone, but Rose is going to see what's going on with her.
Okay.
So do you have a preference? She's done all these drama roles, and like you said, victim with Marie Horton. And do you prefer drama or the comedy that you're doing now?
Well, now, people ask me that sometimes, and I like all the different forms. Now, you know, it's wonderful to play tragedy, but let me tell you what's really hard. Comedy. Comedy is hard. And you always try to hone your skills. It's the timing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you who's a genius at this. Dan Schneider, our producer and the executive producer of our show and the writer of our show, I think he's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
He can find the funny in a three-word sequence, and he'll tweak it and tweak it until it's really, really funny. And he comes up with ideas that are outrageous. You think, oh, no, that never would happen, blah, blah, blah. And then you read in the paper about how this is the new hottest thing that people are doing. Well, I can't tell you what it is because I can't tell you anything that happens, you know, in the storyline. But it never fails that I think, well, that's the silliest thing or that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. And then I'll read in the paper that it's the hottest, newest thing that kids are doing around. So he's always ahead of the curve. And he is
mm-hmm.
a master at finding the funniest things and then tweaking them until they're even funnier. You don't think they can get any funnier. And he does it. I don't know how he does it.
I think I found Dana.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Hi. Hi, Marie. Hi, everybody.
Hi Dana.
Sorry, I had to sneak away for a minute. My little girl wasn't quite asleep yet, so I had to go back in and check in on her.
Good to hear from you, Dana.
Yeah. Great to hear from everybody. And thanks so much, Marie, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us tonight.
Well, it's my pleasure.
And, yeah. So, yeah, I'm so happy for you again on the new show, Sam and Cat. Congratulations on that.
Thanks.
And I love those beautiful pots you make with your pottery. That's just wonderful.
Oh.
You ought to think of something good there and sell them or
or have a contest or something where somebody could win them. I think that'd be a really good idea.
Well, that's what I was thinking, that we would do that. Also, I was thinking, you know, we want to have pictures for tweeting and stuff like that. And I really need to come up with some very funny ideas, because I think taking pictures backstage of people standing and smiling gets a little boring after a while. I think people would like So I came up with, I knit a lot, and I thought, well, I could teach the kiddos on the set to knit, and then we would show the scarves coming along, like in orange for Nickelodeon's color, and then we would give them away for the person who tweets the most, or blah, 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 our little contest thingies.
One
of the pots. And as a matter of fact, a friend who found me on Facebook hadn't heard from him in a long time, bought some of my pods. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Yes.
You need to put your whole catalog and put pictures on there of them, and then tweet your Facebook link and everything, so that you've got between the people that are on Twitter that are following you and the people that are on Facebook, and spread the word around, because you just never know, you know?
That's a very good idea.
That sounds like a great idea.
I've just barely learned how to do this. I was telling him I had a flip phone until 3 months before we did this show.
You're doing great. So, Carrie was saying you were doing really great on Twitter and everything. That's neat. It's such an immediate connection.
I really do treasure that compliment, because I have really had to learn to come from behind. So it's been very interesting.
Yeah. Well, we'll be watching. I'm following you on two different accounts now, so I'll try to look out for you and retweet you and stuff, and we'll all try to do that, because the more we retweet, you know, the more people from each of our followers will see. And then, you know, it's like that old commercial was like, and then she told two friends, and then, and you know, that was like a shampoo commercial or something like that, where.
Right.
Pretty soon the screen was filled up with 16 or 18 pictures of the same girl. But I don't remember what it was advertising. But anyway, it was that same kind of concept, that it's exponential as you put it out there.
That's what
I've
learned.
More and more people see it. And, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still have to figure out the difference between the at and the hashtag, and why you want the hashtag. But I'm learning.
You know what? It's great. You're doing great.
Thank you very, very much, because I'm telling you, the look on my face when they started explaining all this to me. And then they said, and then there's Instagram, and I must have sort of looked like I was going to pass out. And the lady said, maybe we'll leave that to later.
I have to tell you, I was thrilled when I got my first tweet from you.
Really?
You tweeted me. Yes.
Oh,
that was so nice. Yes,
that's really great.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, when you tweet me again, please, reference our conversation so I'll know who you are.
Okay. Well, I'm Mama at _ Hooch.
Oh, now that is. How did you ever come up with that?
It's a long story. All of us are, Carrie, Anna, and all of us are big fans of Teo Panglis. Did you ever work with Teo Panglis? He played Tony DeMera on Days. I don't know if that was.
No.
You know.
No, that
okay,
was after,
well,
after I had.
That was probably after, yeah. So uh-huh. we're big fans, and his fan base, and we all got together, and we all call ourselves Teo's Hoochies. So that's kind of where that kind of came from, yes.
Oh, because I saw that in Ian's following. I thought, Mama Hooch, I don't know.
Yeah. Always fun. And Teo can be just as naughty as Ian, too. So he's kind of like that, too. So, yeah.
And
Ian has a lot of fun.
In the great Hoochie tradition, I'm Cosby Hooch, and I just followed you a little bit ago. And mine's a combination of Teo's Hoochies and... Well, also a Lauren Coslow fan who plays Kate on Days of Her Lives. So Cosby, we're Cosby, so the Cosby Hooch that marries the two, you know, so two fan bases. So that's who I am. But anyway,
that's
hysterical.
And Ian's a Cannon fan. for the first time when he was on Days. That's how I became an Ian Buchanan fan, when he was on Days for a while. And then I followed him to General Hospital.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Did
we started...
he do Days after he did General Hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did General Hospital in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And then he was off for a while. Then he came back, it was a year or two ago,
uh-huh.
about a year ago, uh-huh. to Days. And he was on, he was with Lauren Coslow's character. And he was on not very long. And then he came back and to his was Duke. Last year.
Oh, I just love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now
and
he's on
know,
General Hospital with Duke.
Yeah. That wonderful Finola Hughes is on.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. She's one. Yeah. Duke and Anna. Everybody just loves them. Yeah. So they're back together
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's
Does
on there too.
Does anybody remember Knott's Landing?
Yes. Uh huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the dark
mm-hmm.
age.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Been
oh,
off
yeah.
of Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
My Dallas. Character on Knott's Landing played the great, you know, the funny grandmother too, who wanted the child or the money and didn't care which.
Oh, I
noticed you've been on a lot of TV shows.
Yes.
Through the years,
yes.
grown. Yes.
Yeah.
A
and
lot.
The fortunate. Oh my goodness, I am so fortunate because a lot of ladies, you know, once you reach a certain age. Don't work very much, but I've been able to work through the different stages of my life, and what I think that's very fortunate.
Yeah,
yeah
you've also
good.
Done
yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of you've also done a lot of different genres. You've
yes,
done the soap
yeah.
operas, you've done the comedies, you've done Dexter, which is actually kind of horror. That's a show I watch.
Yeah, I keep waiting for that wonderful horror show, you know, that wonderful horror show role. And I was in Beetlejuice, you know. I went
yeah,
in
you were Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And Mr. and Mrs. Smith is another big movie you were in.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful. You know, and I loved all of the freelance work I did. But I work better in harness. I love to, you know, have a contract and go to work almost every day because that's my idea of going to heaven.
Okay.
Just being in heaven.
Well, that's
working
fine.
Every day, yeah.
Oh,
and I had a friend who wanted to be a household name, you know, a household word. And I thought about that for about 2 seconds, and I thought, that doesn't last very long. I just want to work every day.
Do you have any hobbies outside of work? I mean, like...
Well, yes. Yes, I'm an inveterate gardener. I raise most of the greens that I eat all summer. And
wow.
In California, you can have a winter garden, too. So I have, you know, greens in the winter, too. But I'm a potter, and I have... Like I've been working in clay for off and on for 30 years now, and I never sit down without something in my hand like needlework. I'm a needle woman.
Ooh, okay.
I knit and crochet and sew, and I make quilts. And I just have a brand new machine. I swore I would never get one of those machines that embroiders because I was a reverse snob. I was a reverse snob. I do hand embroidery, if you please.
Mm-hmm. I did the same thing, and then I broke down, and finally I got one, and it's like...
There you are. Yeah, I got it, and I've gone crazy, and I had two friends who had little babies, and I've just made the world. I mean, you'd think that I had created baby clothes. But it's aren't they wonderful machines?
They are. They are. I swore I would never get one, but, I love it.
And they're actually computers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can put
Disney pictures and stuff in it. They've got little patterns you can.
Yeah, and actually, I'm just learning it now. So in my like a sampler, in my learning, I found an old fashioned a set of flowers. So I'm making these flowers, and I thought. Seemed like I could use these in the centers of a quilt and then do Irish chains around it. So that's what I'm doing.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every Tuesday night when I'm able to, I go over to my teachers and we do another, you know, another set of flowers. It's just great. You know, I think it's necessary to keep my hands
busy.
In the dirt
mm-hmm.
and... my feet on the ground. This is what grounds me and keeps me from believing my own PR. Because, you know, when your head gets bigger than the doorway.
Oh, exactly.
You're in trouble.
We have a caller. Laura wanted to talk. Laura?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. How are you? Can you
hear
me?
Is it Laura?
It's Laura, yes.
L-A-R-A?
Right.
Oh, are you Laura Fredrickson?
Yes.
Oh, how wonderful.
I'm listening to you online. Isn't that exciting?
Well, it really is. Now, Laura Fredrickson is a very talented jewelry maker, and she had contacted me on Facebook, right? Right.
Yes, I bought one of your little pots you were talking about.
That's
And it's beautiful.
Thank you very much. And she bought it for her sisters. Now, here's the close, the, you know, separation of 6 degrees. Her sister had been a prayer warrior of ours when we did a film in Florida. Now, it must have worked because we filmed this thing in hurricane season in Florida. All we got was drenching wet because it did rain.
And hot.
And hot, yeah.
And hot.
But they were no hurricanes, and, you know, there were hurricane warnings all around us. So I thought that was pretty swell. So anyway, she bought one of my pots, and she mentioned that she makes the jewelry. And I said, oh, my goodness, you must let me see this because, you know, we'll wear it on the show. She sent me the most beautiful necklaces and earrings, and I've worn them on the show, both sets.
Oh, wow. Yes, I'm so excited.
See how that works?
Oh, it's
and
fabulous.
She sent me beautiful pictures of herself in them. What a sweet thing to do, and they're just lovely.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
So excited for your new show. When you were talking about all the different things you've done, you know, I was just saying to my husband earlier, it must be so nice to have such a long career and still be able to be a person and go out on the street and not worry about being mobbed. You know, like somebody you were talking about, you didn't want that star thing. I don't want to be a star.
Yeah.
You know, you have done so much, but you can still have a life.
Oh, yes.
I think
that's
just
important.
Fabulous. And by the way, I loved you on Scrubs.
Oh, honey, thank you so much.
That
thank
was so funny.
Now, that's an interesting thing because when I have to look my age, you know, I'm 72 and I don't mind to admit it, because when I have to look my age and act my age, a lot of people think I don't look 72. So I wear a wig, and it's a very good wig. You can't spot it as a wig. But I wear a wig, and that's what I wore, that gray wig in that.
That was hilarious.
And Ken is from the Alley Theater in Houston, Texas, too. So that was fabulous to be, you know, to be working with people that.
Oh, my gosh. The Alley Theater?
Yeah.
I'm from Houston originally, or not originally, but for many years. So I know the Alley Theater very well. Wow.
Well, you know the new one. We were in the old one, the old Fan Factory on Berry Street. Now,
oh, my gosh.
I just feel older than God whenever I say things like that.
But it's true. Oh, my God.
Put the old habit back on now if you're going to feel that way.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. And the nice thing about working in Nickelodeon and with, you know, younger people is that it really keeps you young because you have to, and I have to be agile enough to do what the scripts are calling for me to do. And I'm happy to say that I've done most of my own stunt work.
I was going to ask you that earlier because you said you're the, you know,
you're the
target.
Yeah, exactly. You can't tell anything that's really happened, you know, in the show. But I can tell you that it's very physical.
Oh.
Now there's an Instagram for you.
You can't take a pratfall, you know. You.
Yeah, the pratfall is what we want to see on Instagram.
Yeah, okay. Well, as soon as the show airs, then I can show the pictures that I've been taking right along of, you know, what's happening on the set and everything. But they don't like me to show them ahead of time because then you'll guess what we're going to do. And they want to keep it a secret. Yeah.
Right.
They're sly that way, aren't they?
Very, yes.
Especially with the social media that you're learning how to do.
Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah.
Isn't it amazing but fun? because you can connect with everybody around the world.
It is, and it's scary, too. And I understand that I speak a fine Portuguese, and I have I went to Mexico and did the English translation of a telenovela at one time about 15 years ago. And, of course, I'm very, very, very fond of primitive art, you know, and folk art and things like that. I have a pretty good collection, and I work in clay. Of course I would be, you know, very fond of that genre. So I was always out, you know, looking around, grubbing around in the ground and working in clay with the native potters. And all these shows now are on worldwide. And I have fans, Facebook fans, from Ethiopia.
Wow.
Can you imagine it? And one time I was in Rome and I was trying on a dress, and a lady in the next cubicle said, "Oh, I admire you on Days of Our Lives." And at that point, I hadn't done Days of Our Lives in like 20 years. And I said, "Oh, madam, where in the world do you live that you see Days of Our Lives?" And she said, she lived in Iran. And I thought,
wow.
You know? And I thought, how interesting that she was shopping for clothes. And I know they can't wear European Western clothes where she's from. So she said, "Yes, but we wear them when we travel, you know, or in the privacy of their own home." And I thought, wow. But
that's,
I mean,
funny.
Can you imagine?
It's like a meeting dressing room.
What you need is a dressing room. Oh, and that's another thing. You feel like you're in the world's biggest family. I was in Florence looking at the backside of the David, if you will, standing, you know, looking up. And a lady approached me, and she said, "Oh, excuse me." She said, "Aren't you Stephanie on the stories?" And I whipped around, and I said, but we're in Florence, Italy." That made a difference.
See?
And I was then very embarrassed that I was caught looking at the backside of the David.
So you are a star. People do recognize you.
Yeah. But it's very interesting, though. But I think sometimes they hear my voice first, because I don't go around with much makeup on. In fact, I go around.
Yeah, you have a very, you know, you have a very familiar voice and presence and everything, so that makes sense. I'm sure you get a lot of people looking at you like, "I feel like I know her," like, you know, because you have such a warm presence and everything that, you know, and you've been on so many things that, you know, if you're alive, if a person is alive, they've seen you somewhere. But yet you have that persona that you could have been their best friend from 20 or 30 years ago, or their neighbor or something, you know. So I can imagine some people probably,
or that lady on my TV
like,
screen,
looking at you like, "Where do I know her from? I know her from?"
That's very interesting you should say that. And I worked that out a few years ago, because when you're a great big image and you're on a movie screen, like Halle Berry or you know, movie stars, and you see them on the street, you go, "Oh, my goodness, there is so-and-so." But when the image is small and you're in their living room every day, people get to know you in a way that they don't know the great big stars. And they think, generally I'm asked, "Didn't we go to school together?" Or,
oh,
you know,
how funny.
So you're absolutely
And you're
right.
More approachable, too.
You're more
approachable.
That's right.
They're not afraid to come up and you know, they are you, you know, Marie from Days of Our Lives, more so than they would be a bigger actor or actress.
That's right. That's very true. Mm-hmm. And I carry cards now. I've had them printed up with my Twitter handle on it and the Facebook fan page address.
Oh, great. I still have the card you autographed for me years ago.
There you go. Isn't that interesting? Because when you see people, they really do want to come away with something, and I want them to come away with my Twitter. They'll go home and tweet me.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea to have that handy.
Yeah,
like, it's got business card, but it's got
a
way to reach you on social media. That's a great
idea. That's exactly right. And like today, or yesterday, what is today, Saturday? No, Sunday. Okay.
Sunday.
Well, yesterday I went to a gift-giving suite for the MTV Awards. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, would come up to me and I would say, oh, how nice to meet you. And I said, look, and I would give them the autograph on that card and I'd say, do me a favor. And I would give them three or four extra cards for their friends.
Oh,
please follow me on Twitter.
Oh, that's great.
I'm just,
well, you know, what's great, too,
it.
Is doing this show on Nickelodeon is you're going to reach a whole new range of people, you know, a whole new generation. And
my husband,
you know,
said, you're going to be the, oh, my goodness, what is that lady's name? The lady who was the famous mother on the kids show when we were growing up. You're going to be, yeah, you're going to
June
be
Cleaver.
Yeah,
June Cleaver
of this generation, and they won't know. I mean, they don't know me from anything else. It's like the characters who are in Harry Potter, you know. Some people don't know Maggie. They're too young to know Maggie Smith's career, but they'll remember her from that.
Isn't that
and
funny?
That's a true story about those little cards because I got sent in the pot.
All right.
I opened up the lid of the pot and there's some little cards in there.
But it's great that you're embracing it. That's great because some people might resist it and be like, oh, I don't want to do that, you know. And you're embracing it and it allows people to really be able to get to know you and you know, be in touch and it's great PR for the show and everything else, you know, so it's a great
it's
a win all around.
I think so. I took my cue from the network executives of Nickelodeon who said, now, do you tweet? And I said, no, I don't. I didn't know anything about it. And they gave me a two-hour coaching session.
Good.
Wow.
Anybody who's going
that's
to.
That's how important that is.
That
they
is
were
how
literate.
Exactly.
Well, especially for the audience that you're reaching, that's all they do is, I mean, we do it a lot, and we're older, but, like, you know, the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
yeah,
I
that's
have to
it.
hand it to you ladies because a lot of people of my generation don't even have Facebook accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So you ladies are like ahead of the curve here. You really are wonderful that you do this.
I was resistant at first about Facebook, but my son got me on.
There you are.
And I'm in my 50s, and, yeah, and I didn't want to do it. And I didn't want to do Twitter either, but here I am.
Well,
all the time.
Right, and so when I talk to people now and they have children, I said, does your daughter tweet? And she's, oh, no, she doesn't do that. And I said, uh-huh. I said, she goes out behind the barn and rebuckles those knickerbockers below the knee. And, you know, and nobody gets that reference either. But
so you obviously had to switch from your flip phone to something else. Do you have an iPhone, or what did you end up?
I had to get a hold. I wish I had gotten an iPhone, really, because I got a Droid, and it's a little more. I have a Mac computer and an iPad, and it's a little cumbersome because if I had an iPhone, I could just plug it all in.
Yeah, if you had an iPhone, you could sync it all up and be connected.
Exactly, exactly. And there's a couple of little steps. So the next thing I do is get rid of that Droid and get an iPhone. Because
there you go.
Exactly. Because it really is different, and it's a little more cumbersome.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about that is, you're never without something to read because I do Kindle and audiobooks.
Oh, yeah.
And it's terrible, though, when you're on the set and I did a movie with Lindsay Lohan a couple of years ago, and all everybody did was they had their heads down and they were buried in their phones. And I thought, well, I'll never be like that. You know, so I took my knitting and I'd sit over there and plug in my book and just knit and listen to my book. But really and truly, social media is now actually work. I mean, they do this for work. You know, this is not just
It's serious stuff. Yeah.
Silly nonsense.
Yeah.
So I catch up on the answering the tweets, and I found that if you answer back, people are more likely to follow you and then get their friends to follow you if you answer to them.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And there's still so much I need to really learn and figure out. Oof.
Well, you know, and it's a nice, you know, and each person has to find what the balance that works for them because, you know,
especially being a public person, you know, you want to share some aspects of your life, but you want others to be private and everything, and there's boundaries
yeah.
and everything. So it's navigating that whole process, but, you know,
it's
really neat when you share a part, like, you know, even take a picture of your garden or something that you grew or something and tweet it, like, hey, look at the tomatoes just grew, you know.
That's
I mean,
right.
little things like that, or if you have a pet or something like that, people love things like that, and it helps them to feel closer to you without it really being a, you know, a security issue or a, you know, a
right.
privacy issue or whatever. So, you know, it's kind of fun as you get even more into it and everything, you'll find a way to, you know, navigate that and everything.
Idea.
But you're doing great.
Thank you so much.
But
because
people
I
love
need
pets.
To come
I'm telling
behind.
You, they're a sucker for your pets. So if you have any of those or you know, anything from
that's
your garden.
That's a great idea. You have given me a wonderful idea, and I'm taking you up on it.
Well, good.
We'll be looking for you.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
We'll be tweeting you. Yeah.
I'm just tickled. I think it's great.
We have another caller I want to put on. Angela. Angela?
Here. Hi.
Here's
Hi, Marie.
Angela.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, Marie, it's nice to talk to you. I actually met you in 2010 at the Francis Reed Memorial Brunch.
Oh, how wonderful.
You were
you
lovely.
Know,
very
oh,
nice to then.
Thank you. And, you know, it's an interesting thing about working on soaps. Soaps are the only venue that you can go to a person's funeral twice and cry both times.
Oh,
because, like, it happened with Mac and it happened with Franny. You know, I went to her memorial and cried. And then, you know, they invited, kind enough to invite me back on the show to do her funeral.
Aww.
And I'm telling you, those are the people that, when I went to Mac's funeral, I looked around and I saw all of the cast members behind me. And I thought, holy cow, this really is my professional family, because this is the family that
wow.
I grew up with, you know, professionally. I learned how to hit your mark and look up into the light and say your lines and pretend you're not acting. I learned all that from Frances Reed.
Aww.
Oh,
yeah.
That was a special day and a very nice remembrance for her and her family. I was going to ask you some questions about early part of days, because I was curious, you know, from what we've read, I guess from, you know, the premiere through at least, I guess, the latter part of 1966, Days was in, you know, ratings trouble initially on
uh-huh.
NBC.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, Bill Bell came in
uh-huh.
as head writer. And I was just curious about what your recollections were as far as some of the changes for Marie. I don't know if that was still the Tony Merritt. I was born in 65, so I don't remember any of this directly, but I've watched on YouTube and I've read a good bit. But it looked like the Tony Merritt story and so forth, and maybe at about the time that Bill Bell came, things changed a little bit for Marie, or was there really much of an effect for your character initially?
Well, I was so in shock, you know, because I had never done I'd never been a regular on a television show. I had done theater and a few little shows like Ben Casey and, you know, things. But I was just really coming from behind. So anything that happened, it was all new to me. It was all so shockingly new to me that I couldn't really answer that question with any clarity, because I was just. I felt like I was, you know, swimming upstream all the time. But no, that my character, as I recall, my character, oh my goodness, that was when, yeah, Tony was supposed to have had a terrible disease and he didn't want to tell anybody. We were supposed to get married. And then he went away, and we thought he was going to die, and then I fell in love with his father and married his father, and then the kid didn't die at all. He came home, and he lived in the same house with us. Oh, that was a terrible story.
That was scary. I mean,
yeah, that was, yeah.
It is on YouTube, and it's an interesting piece because I guess his father was an airline pilot.
Oh,
so
yes,
he
wasn't
would try
he?
Out...
Oh, wasn't he handsome? Yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
And then you would go over and talk to Alice about, you know, just getting, you know, getting accustomed to everything and married life and all the...
Right.
All the... So it was all very dialogue heavy and how did everybody feel
That's what I was saying earlier.
I guess. The scenes
were longer.
Mm-hmm.
They were very much longer. And, you know, I don't think that they said anything any more important than they do now, but law me, didn't they go on forever? long. We just talked, it seemed.
Now, Days was taped even from the beginning, right?
It was all taped, yes.
Right. So how far in advance were you getting scripts at the very beginning? Do you remember?
Well, no further advance than they do now. They would only give you the scripts like 2, 3, 4 days in advance. But I said earlier that it was really terribly difficult to read in advance because you would then be caught thinking, oh my goodness, is this what I said today, what I said yesterday, or what I'm supposed to say tomorrow? So I quit doing that. that was frightening, actually. But,
they don't have that problem now. Poor Dave is still taping about 6 or 7 months ahead of time, so that's
sure.
kind of the bane of our existence for those of us that really still watch the show and love it. I think that's one of the things that really still frustrates us, though, is that
film
so far in advance. Versus General Hospital or some of the other shows.
Well, we used to be only 3 or 4. Oh, listen, we worked on Thanksgiving. We worked half a day on Thanksgiving because we were only like a week and a half in advance of airtime. So it was nip and tuck sometimes. Oh, I remember those days.
Did you get a sense that they would figure? What was your sense on, you know, like Angela said, the bane of our existence is that we know they tape 3 or 4 months in advance most times of the year. So therefore, if they go with a story that really isn't very good, you know, that nobody really likes, we know we're stuck with it for at least 3 months because the show doesn't, the writers don't know that it's awful until they see the fan feedback. And by then there's already 3 months in the reel, you know, or in the can. So did you get a sense that they would switch gears on something if it wasn't working? Like, would you see something going one direction and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, this isn't working, so we'll get you
they
a new love interest or change, you know.
Yeah, they had a story about potable water, about water that was fit to drink.
Funny.
After a while, it occurred to them that nobody cared about the Salem water, whether it was fit to drink or not. And so they just dropped that story mid-sentence, sort of, you know.
That's funny.
One day we were talking about that, and the next day you never heard about that again.
Were you happy?
Of course, now everybody drinks bottled water, but...
Yeah, well, yeah, that was way before anybody did that.
Exactly.
That was considered affectation. Back in the day, you know, people who drank their own bottled water,
right,
that was considered
right.
putting on airs.
funny.
Yeah. And considering the
sale. Well, Marie, you're an actress. It's amazing to see your career because, again, having been such a prolific character actress across so many different shows, it's wonderful to still know that you're acting on Nickelodeon and that you've got all these other things going on. And I started following you tonight on Twitter, so I'll look forward to talking with you on Twitter.
I cannot thank you enough because I know how much time it takes to do that. And I do thank you.
Well, thank you.
That's
you
a very interesting thing. You know, even when I was playing characters that were supposed to be, I never considered myself beautiful because there are really drop-dead gorgeous women that I know, and I am not ever and never have been one of those. But I've always considered myself a character actress, always, always, uh-huh. always. And even when I was all dolled up with furs and everything on Search for Tomorrow, you know, lots of makeup and lots of wonderful false eyelashes and batting them around at everybody, I underneath all of that there lurked Thelma Ritter. So she was always, you know, and whenever, oh, that's another thing. Whenever I would get scripts, I would think of, now, how would I play, especially on Search for Noir. So I did things like, this reminds me of how Loretta Young would come into the room, come into the door and do a Loretta Young turn and close the door and then play the scene. And then I would play scenes like, how would Betty Davis play this scene? And how would all these wonderful actresses that I had admired so in the film, I would play the scene like them, like as you know, holding their image in mind, and play mm-hmm. the scene like I thought they would do it.
Oh.
And then when I left the show, and then I would turn in, you know, and watch Lisa Peluso when she was on another show, I saw her doing Marie Cheatham doing Betty Davis. Do you understand?
There you go. Yeah.
That was really fun because I had subliminally taught her how to do that. She played my daughter. Oh, it was such fun.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, it's wonderful to talk to you.
Thanks, Angela.
Take care.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the follow.
Yes, ma'am.
That's so cute.
Aww. You know, it's really adorable to be the eldest person in the room most of the time. And I kind of got used to it now. But for the while, it was sort of depressing. But then I realized, oh, no, I've survived.
It's true.
Holy
That's
cow,
right.
I
yeah.
survived. And it's great. It's wonderful.
Aww. I wanted to ask you about your new movie, Model Home.
Oh, yes.
Yes. What's that one about?
Has it come out yet?
From what I saw, no, when I looked it up. It's not quite out yet.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, it's like a really neat premise, though.
Yeah, I never quite understood it. And since I didn't have very much to... I didn't have very much to do on it, so I just showed up and said my lines, and I thought, well, I'll understand it when I see it, you know, because it isn't necessary for you to understand, because my scene wasn't connected to anything else. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If it's not connected to anything else, I think, oh, okay, I'll just be surprised along with everybody else, you know. So that way, what I do that isn't colored by anything else on, you know, but I can stay separate that way. Do you know what I mean? If I'm playing something that, you know, I don't want to play and give away the last bit of Hamlet before it. That would be bad. That would be very bad.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see this episode, but you were hot in Cleveland when Ed Asner.
Oh, yes.
You have any stories from that episode?
I played one of those wonderful grand dames, you know,
mm-hmm.
who is just, you know, so special that, it, you know, just really special in her own mind. And one of the characters drops an earring down my bosom. And
oh,
then,
my gosh.
Is forced to retrieve it. And the line is, oh, excuse me, my rental earring is down your bosom. And then she, you know, puts her hand down my bosom and gets her earring back. And her date then says she's trying to impress this very fanfare character. And he's, really? Rented? But they had to separate, you know, ample bosoms. Now we can talk about ample bosoms. They were an asset earlier, and now they tend to be a detriment. But they had to sort of cantilever with falsies a way for, you know, separate my bosoms and keep them separated so that the lady could get her hand down my bosom and retrieve her earring and get it back
out.
Oh, my
gosh. Oh, my gosh.
So that was pretty interesting.
Wow.
And Ed is a marvelous man. You know, I've known him for years, and he's a wonderful, wonderful man. And, oh, Betty White. Now, you talk about longevity.
Oh, yeah.
I love Betty White.
And,
yes.
And she said, you know, well, you know I'm 90. And I said, oh, yes, I do. I said, everybody knows because the whole nation celebrated your birthday with you. You know, that's great. Listen, that's good innings. When you're still able to do the thing you love.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
She's so beloved. You know.
And my idea of a good time is retirement. Is to be doing a play somewhere, and the last curtain comes down, and you take your bow and just very gently fall over sideways.
Aww.
My idea of retirement.
Aww.
Keep going to the end, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, this is something that I do for free. I do believe in Grow Your Own. I do plays that are with young playwrights. And I think that's a good idea. And I do it, sometimes they call equity waiver, and they give you enough money for gasoline, or it used to be enough money until prices went up.
Yeah.
So I do plays around town, you know, if I have the time. And I think it's important because how else are, you know, unless good people do new plays, how are they ever going to learn?
I know Teo Penglis does a lot of workshops and plays and things like that. You know, does a lot of things like that too around town. And he's really, really into keeping, you know, keeping.
Who does?
Keeping going. Teo, you know, we were talking earlier about
Penglis.
Teo Penglis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think he does a lot.
I think
Doris Roberts, his mother's, yeah.
And you know Doris Roberts? Yeah.
Yeah,
Doris Roberts is his
friend
and his neighbor. And she lives right next door to him. So
she's the funniest woman
they're
alive.
Neighbors. They're good friends.
Yeah, she's the funniest woman alive. I think she's marvelous.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, she is.
Well, good actors who are mindful of their craft are really, you know, we try to keep sharp and keep honed and all of that. And one hand washes the other. You do a person's new play and you keep up in your skills. You know, timing is important when you're doing comedy or, well, really anything, but it's just important to do.
Yeah, definitely.
I really approve of that.
Well, I was going to mention before, wanted to make sure to mention that somebody you might want to follow on Twitter, and she can follow you back. So you guys could. Have you ever DM'd? Do you DM now that you're on Twitter?
Okay. Have I done what?
DM, direct message on Twitter. Like if you're following somebody and they follow you back, then you can send a private message to each other.
Oh,
have you
can?
Tried that yet? Yes.
No,
yes.
I've never done that.
Yes.
I've sent you a few,
it's called, DMing. Well, we have a friend of the show that's a film producer in Dallas, and I was telling her about you, and we were talking. I said, "Oh, shoot, you know, you guys should meet sometime." And so, you know, so anyway, so follow at Jenny JENNY Thomas 10 like 10, and you know, someday since you're both from Texas and everything, you know, you both have Texas history and everything there, and I know you do a lot of films and everything. You never know, there might be a project you guys may work on together someday. So.
How wonderful. Now, you have to be very, and now, remember, I'm old, so you have to be very careful and tell me, spell out her name, JENNIE.
I think it's JENNY.
Okay.
Thomas, and then Thomas.
Thomas.
And then and
Thomas,
Thomas,
like
and the
you usually spell it?
Yes. T-H-O-M-A-S. And then 10, like 10, the number 10.
10, okay. Because, you know, when you're autographing things, spelling is the hardest thing you do. Spelling is the hardest part. So it's Jenny Thomas 10. It's at Jenny Thomas 10. Okay, good.
Yeah,
that
we were talking about you. And I just have that, you know how you just have that feeling that people would be great together, that they'd make a great, you know, team kind of thing. I don't know. And then with your Texas
right.
too, that's
well,
that.
You just never can kind of, tell, right.
You never can. So
when
anyway.
I do that, What name shall I give to recommend?
Anna.
Just follow her and I'll try to introduce you guys too on there.
Okay.
As well.
Now I don't know your voices. So tell me who's speaking.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Anna, and I'm
okay.
Cosby Hooch. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Good. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
Goody.
Okay.
Okay.
So
great.
I'll do that after the show. We'll
okay.
That.
Great. Because sometimes, you know, I don't know you well enough to know your
oh,
voice.
Oh, of course. And we're all talking, so.
Isn't that funny? Well, have I answered your questions, or is there anything else that you'd like to know? Oh, I feel like a psychic. Is there anything else you'd like to know?
I just wanted to say something about Dave. Since right now Marie's grandson with Jessica's son, Nick Fallon, is on the show, it would be nice maybe if Marie would come back for an appearance again.
Right.
Yes.
I'd love to.
Yes.
So
we always kept wondering because Jessica came back for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we should tweet them and tell
them. Yes, we should.
And tell them.
That's why I'm bringing it up. Yes.
Oh,
it would be nice to see
Marie
come back. Actually, Nick could use his grandma right now.
Oh, really?
In the storyline.
Yes. Oh, a comforting, the comforting word. Yes.
Yeah, because Julie hasn't even been around much for him.
She hasn't. Well, she always was a scatter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She was. You can never rely on her. It's true. Wasn't she the original problem?
She was. That's how it started out.
Yeah,
Family
she got arrested
problem.
For shoplifting.
Right. For shoplifting, right.
Yes, of course.
The very first show. That's how it started.
That's right. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And my grandmother and grandfather lived in Central Texas, and he wrote me a letter which I have framed, and I have right this minute, I'm looking at it. It's on my wall in my office. And his little letter said, you know, they had problems with reception because they had to crawl up on the roof and turn those antennas around until they could get the reception. And so it was always a big deal. And so when the very first show came on, he wrote me a letter and he said, "You did a fine job," and it came in fine. Which was the most important thing, you know, that he could receive it.
That he could see you, yeah.
Oh my God.
And
I remember the rabbit ears.
Fine.
I remember those.
I was going to say, yeah, man, on
I'm old enough to remember those.
The rabbit ears as a kid.
The rabbit ears on our
of
black and white TV.
And then we'd have long stand, and one of us would stand there and say, no, a little to the left. Yeah, now just stand there.
Oh, wait,
hold it right there.
Stand there.
Uh-huh. Did you ever put tinfoil on them?
Yes.
Tinfoil,
yes. We did the tinfoil thing, too.
Oh, no, we're showing our age now.
Oh, dear, yes.
Oh, God.
Well, that was before the remotes, too, so you know, you had to have a
no remotes.
Brother, so,
you had to get up and change the channel.
Little brothers were great for that. It's like, Kevin, go change the channel.
Kevin, you know, go change that channel. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, it is so funny to see how things have changed. It is, and what is so wonderful to me is to see the styles come back. You know, these retro styles. I didn't like that formica the first time we had it, so I'm not ever doing that again. But but it's really interesting to see, you know, the styles of clothes come back. Oh, if only I'd saved that.
Yeah. My mom always says if you live long enough, it'll usually come back around again.
Of course.
Right.
And that's the reason we all have to keep our figures. You know.
Oh dear.
Oh really?
That one.
Yeah.
Is there enough stories?
I didn't get the memo on that one.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Anna.
Well, none of us did. Oh my goodness! My phone is making those noises it does when it's tweeting itself.
Oh, that was me. Yeah,
oh, Steve, you're getting a lot of them already, probably.
Great.
A lot of tweets already. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy. This is wonderful. Now, Diva? Yeah.
Yeah.
You tweet a lot about what's going on in the show. Is that okay? Oh,
yes,
because it's already aired.
Yes, yeah.
Oh,
she's doing it live. Yeah.
Oh, I got a little confused there.
Yeah. I watched mm-hmm. I watched the show and I give my two cents, and Twitter's a good for me because I'm very pithy and very blunt. So I can I can make fun of the show in 140 characters, no problem.
Well, okay, good. I'll remember that.
And that's one of the reasons I resisted Twitter at first, because I always have to say a lot or write a lot. So I'm like, how could I ever fit something, a single thought, into 140 characters or less? So it's a struggle for me on a daily basis.
Isn't that a challenge? Yeah.
I try.
Yeah. Oh, it's quite a challenge. And then if you put a picture on, it's less. You get less words. Have you known that?
Yes. Oh, yeah, it takes up space, yeah.
Yeah, well, I just figured that one out. Oh, you have no idea. You would laugh at the things I've gone through. So I have to then go back up and take out somewhere. And that's the reason nobody can spell anymore, because everyone's gotten this shorthand.
Yes, know? Yes, because you have to find creative ways of spelling things to get it all.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's it.
Contractions are back in style now, though.
It's true. It's very true. I think it's ruining the English language, but never mind, because, you know, English was made up to change.
That's right.
It's always been morphing, English.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It was made up to begin with, for heaven's sakes. It's not like Latin.
Yeah.
People get upset, and I think, what are you getting upset about? You know, it's been like this from the beginning. Don't you have any history?
That's funny. Oh, gosh. You're such a delight. We loved you the last time you were on. You were so much fun, and we just really enjoy you.
You're very kind to say so, and I really appreciate the opportunity. I mean, this show must reach a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a thousand. Yeah, it's a podcast that people can listen to it later.
Oh, really?
Join us live. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you wanted
iTunes
to listen to it later on, what happens? Where do you go to listen to it?
Right here on Blog Talk Radio, or we have our own page on iTunes also. If you go to iTunes and they just type in your name, this show will pop up.
No kidding.
So, mm-hmm.
No,
yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to our page, it lists all the interviews we've done and all the podcasts that we've done in order.
Oh,
so
amazing.
Yours will appear at the top, you know, as being the most recent one when it posts the archive. So, yeah, you'll be able to, and it's great because people can listen while they're on the treadmill or whatever. They can just go to iTunes and pull a podcast that they want to, or an interview that they want to listen to, and listen while they're working out or whatever. You know, it's nice.
That
yeah.
is amazing. I really am. Just, I think it's amazing.
Yep. How did
you ever get the idea to do the show?
We were listening to a guy who had his own show, and we wanted to do a podcast, but we didn't know how to do it, and someone recommended Blog Talk Radio. And actually, it's very simple to operate. So it's a lot of fun. Yeah, we're all in different cities and different locations, different time zones, and we all come together for the show. Yeah.
Yeah, a friend of mine from Texas kept saying, "Now, what time is it here in Texas?" And I wouldn't know. I had to look it up on the Goose thing I call it the Goose thing.
The Goose thing.
Yeah. I have to look it up.
So if you had an iPhone, you would have a world clock that you could look and you could go, oh.
Okay. Oh.
Another plug for iPhone.
You know, maybe my phone does it. I don't know.
You probably do. I don't know, but you probably do have one on the Droid too. So somewhere. I know it's on I think it's on utilities on the iPhone.
Okay.
But I'm not sure where it would be on.
Well, there's a little
clock. You probably
clock
got
and
it somewhere.
Yeah. It's sort of like this little, you know, portable computer. I don't know half of what it does, but it does an awful lot, I know. But I don't know half of what it does. I suppose you just have to learn it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm so afraid I'll do something wrong that I just do the things I know to do, you know.
Oh, you're doing great. You're doing great.
Well, thank
you. I was going
to
ask you, what part of Central Texas was your family from that you were talking about with the antennas on the roof? Where part was that?
Oh, well, that was near Clifton, but I have lived in Lampasas. I've lived all the little towns between Oklahoma City, where I was born, and Galveston.
Oh, wow. Huh? Okay.
Yeah.
So
I lived all through that area. Mother married a lot. That accounts for it, yes.
There
I have family in the Lampasas area still, and I have my aunt is still living in Gatesville, and that's about it.
Okay.
Great. Fast losing my family.
I lived in the Austin area, Hill Country, and then Houston mostly. So.
Well, now Houston's kind of hard to live in. My gills have healed over, but they left these little scars on my neck. But the Hill Country is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it is beautiful there. Yeah, Wimberley and the south of Austin. San Marcos.
Yes. Wimberley's wonderful.
Yeah.
In fact, the little church that the family used to go to in Turnersville, Texas, was bought by the people in Red Rock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I went to the last service that was held in Turnersville, and then they came and jacked it up, put it on a truck, and moved that church to Red Rock, and I went to the first service over there. That was very sweet, I thought, to invite us to do that.
Oh, that's
yeah,
nice.
That was lovely.
Well,
all these wonderful people, you know, you grow up eating black-eyed peas and pork chops and stuff you can't eat too much of these days. But,
but we still do.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. Yes. So,
well,
it's great.
I think it's a good time to wrap things up.
Lovely.
So, yes, I have a coughing kid, so I'm going to need to see what's going on with him.
Yeah. All right. Well, take care.
Yes, and Paul at Marie Cheatham.
At Marie Cheatham.
Cheatham.
Yes,
two E's.
Marie with two E's.
I have to ask you before we go. Yeah, in your credits, sometimes it's Marie with two E's, and sometimes it's the more traditional way spelled Marie. Why is there a difference?
I'll fess up. I was going through a hard time. You know, people do. And a numerologist, that's a lady who tells all about you through numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Said, if you would just get rid of the I in your name, your luck would turn. So I went right away and changed the spelling on my pictures. That's all I did. And don't you know things turned around? But I have a suspicion that it would have, you know, would have done that, you know, given enough time anyway. But I was in a hurry. I was in a big fat hurry.
Hey, but it worked, right? So
it worked. Things got better.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I sort of liked it after that. I never changed it back.
Oh,
that's different.
Neat. That's a fun story.
Well, it's kind of pretty silly, isn't it?
No,
that's a fun story, yeah.
Yeah, but it worked, and I left it. I'm not taking the bait. Not me. Well, it's been wonderful speaking with you. Oh, I just think you're very brave to do this, and it's just...
Thank you.
Thank you. It was fun.
It's just joy in talking with you, and we're wishing you the best on Sam and Kat.
Thanks so much.
Looking forward to seeing that, yeah.
Thank you.
So,
it's a fun show. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Marie.
Thank you.
All right,
thanks, Marie.
All right, now,
take
do
care.
I just hang up? Is that all?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's cool.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
See you on Twitter.
Thank you, dear.